studying for some time in our Sunday morning lessons of the question of who is Jesus. And we've been doing that primarily through looking at the book of Matthew. But of course, as we contemplate that question, who is Jesus, or if you were asking that question of anyone, who is so-and-so, one of the best ways to see that person would be by observing what they say and what they do. And so as we look at Jesus, we're not only looking at some facts concerning Jesus, but looking at Jesus' teaching and so forth as we go through. Last week we looked at the first part of Matthew chapter 15, dealing with the dangers of the traditions of men and Jesus' teaching in that regard. This lesson today kind of goes along with that, as he continued in that chapter and warned about blind leaders of the blind. You know, who can one trust regarding religious matters? You know, if you ask that question to most people, they're going to say, well, I trust my preacher, my priest, my pastor, my whatever word they use, but they're going to, my rabbi maybe, they're going to look at some person that they look to as a religious authority, a religious leader of some type, and they put their trust in them. And I think for most people, that would probably come to mind before even saying, well, I put my trust in the Bible, in God's Word. Who do we trust? You know, most assume that a man of God, as they would look at most of these people, must be trustworthy. If a person is in a position of a preacher, priest, pastor, rabbi, whatever, then they must be trustworthy. They must have their good at heart. And so they're a trustworthy example to look to as far as an authority in religion. But yet as we look at the Bible, not only the words of Jesus, but the words of the Bible as a whole, Old Testament and New, the Bible doesn't always speak very highly of religious leaders. In fact, Jesus had more conflict with the religious leaders of his day than any other group. And you go back even to the Old Testament, and oftentimes the priests and so forth were the ones that were leading the charge to apostasy instead of leading the charge back to God. Paul warned about savage wolves in Acts chapter 20 as he's meeting with the elders from Ephesus. Savage wolves that would come in, not sparing the flock of God. Peter wrote about false teachers bringing in destructive heresies. You know, there are people who will knowingly destroy the people of God. They have an agenda. They go to great lengths deliberately to lead people astray. My wife likes watching the show Criminal Minds. And if you've ever watched that show, it deals with this group of experts that go around and they solve these cases of serial killers. People that have in their mind an agenda to go out and harm people, and they plan it out maybe years in advance and exactly how they're going to go about their gruesome deeds and so forth. That's kind of the type of people that are being talked about as these savage wolves and false teachers by Peter. But you know, if any one of us ended up being killed by another person, the chances are much greater that it's not going to be a serial killer, one of these people that's planned the dastardly deed out for months, years in advance, but it's probably going to be by somebody that's negligent or somebody that's just not paying attention to what they're doing. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here. Yes, you have these that knowingly lead people astray. But you also have those who just aren't paying attention to what they're doing. And they're religious leaders, but they're not focused on the truth. And so Jesus tells his disciples about blind leaders of the blind. Our text is Matthew 15, verses 12 through 14. Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Now again, he's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the ones, the question came there in verse 12. The Pharisees, they're offended. And so they're the focus of who he's talking about. He says, they are blind leaders of the blind. These Pharisees were the religious leaders, weren't they? But again, they're a group that Jesus had much conflict with as he went through his ministry. And so being blind themselves, even though they were in leadership positions, they were blind and thus they were not aware of how they misled others. They didn't really have an agenda to mislead others. But yet, the result is the same. If a false teaching is perpetrated, whether it's by one knowingly doing that or whether it's by one who does it simply by neglect and a lack of study, the result is the same. Those who are misled still fall into the ditch. They're still destroyed. Back in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16, Isaiah said, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed." You see that throughout the history in the Old Testament, the history of Israel. As the leaders went, the people went. If you had good leaders, both in the civil leaders, such as the king, and in the priesthood, the people were faithful. If you had evil leaders in those positions, the people went astray. People follow their leaders. And so it's important that a leader lead correctly. So whether a person is led by a false teacher, a deliberate false teacher, or by a blind leader, again, the result is the same. And so we're going to ask ourselves and look at a couple of questions this morning. First of all, what are some of the characteristics of a blind leader? I need to know that so that I can examine myself and make sure that I'm not a blind leader, and also so that I can be on the watch out for one who might be a blind leader that is trying to get me to follow them. And secondly, how can we be sure not to be misled by a blind leader? And while Peter had much to say about these false teachers, these deliberate false teachers, Jesus had much to say about blind leaders. So what are some characteristics of these blind leaders? One would be holding the traditions of men. Again, that was the subject last week as we looked at the earlier verses here in Matthew chapter 15. Holding the traditions of men. And that's the case of these Pharisees in our text. Now, the verses in between where we stopped last week and where we started this week, Jesus is pointing out the error of their way and how their tradition. They've laid aside the commandment of God, as we saw last week, so that they can embrace their tradition. They reject God's word to hold to their traditions. And when Jesus points that out, then the question comes, don't you know that these Pharisees are offended by what you said? They're putting the traditions above the Word of God. Again, back to some of the passages we looked at last week in verse 3. He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition?" If you remember the context there, these religious leaders had called Jesus and his apostles on the carpet, so to speak. "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And so they're being chastised because they're not holding to the tradition of the elders. In verse 6, Jesus says, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." And then in verse 9, as he quotes from Isaiah, "For in vain, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Holding the traditions of men. Blind leaders today do the same thing. They teach as doctrines their traditions. They hold those traditions as something that must be honored if a person is going to be maybe a part of their religious body or whatever it might be. Not knowing that what they teach comes from man and not from God. I received an email this past week. A person that was visiting last week, and they wrote wanting to know about our Easter service. They said, "I was a guest at your Easter service," and they were not pleased with what we did in our Easter service. Well, I wrote him back and told him we didn't have an Easter service, and that we honored Christ as we assembled around the Lord's table, which we do on the first day of every week, not just one Sunday a year. And that Christ was glorified as we partook of that memorial feast, and we contributed, and we taught His Word, and we sang songs of praise, and we prayed. I said, Christ was not slighted in our worship. He was glorified. I didn't get a response back, so I don't know what he thought of that, but I think that was a man who didn't understand the difference between a tradition of man and what the Word of God teaches. So one of the characteristics of a blind leader is holding to the traditions of men. Another might be making distinctions where God has made none. That's one of the things we see again with these Pharisees. If you turn over to Matthew 23, we'll be looking at several verses from there in the next two or three points here. Because that's a passage, a chapter where Jesus is just chastising these religious leaders. He calls them blind some five times in the passage. He calls them hypocrites. He's certainly at odds with their way of doing things. And what they're presenting is truth. But they're guilty of making distinctions where God had made none. An example of that is Matthew 23 verses 13 or verses 16 through 22. When he's talking about the types of oaths that one would swear. He says, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift on the altar or the sacrifices or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." See the distinction they were making? Getting down to just nits and gnats of you know, if you do this and that's okay, but you do it just a little bit different and that's not okay and so forth. They were making distinctions where God had made no distinction. They were distinctions that were put there by men. You know, blind leaders today oftentimes, again, do that same thing. Making fine distinctions so that one need not keep God's word. A catchphrase that's popular today is salvation issue. People read something in the Bible and they determine, well, this is a salvation issue. Or this is not a salvation issue. Who are we to make that distinction between something that we read in God's Word to say this is a salvation issue and this is not? Only God can make that determination. But many people have set themselves up today, even in the Lord's church, to try to make that distinction. We hear things like, well, baptism is essential to salvation. That's a salvation issue. The use of instrumental music, that's not a salvation issue. Again, who am I to make that distinction? That's in the Lord's camp. And so blind leaders can make distinctions where God has made none. Also, they leave commands of God undone. They draw lines of distinction between what must be done, what must or doesn't necessarily have to be done. Again, we see that with these Pharisees, these blind guides. In chapter 23, verses 23 and 24, Jesus talks about they left the weightier matters of the law undone. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." He said they were again down into the detail, just like they were with the giving of oaths. But this time they're down making sure that tithe, that 10%, is given of every little spice. You know, we might say in our spice rack, they probably got theirs out of their garden, but every little detail. But yet you have, what is the law all about? What is God's law is all about? It's about things like justice and mercy and faith. And they've entirely missed the picture on those important things, those weightier matters of the law. Notice Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't be making sure you give your tithes correctly and you need to just concentrate on this other. He says these you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. It was all important. They needed to be doing those things. So they're stressing tithing but neglecting justice, mercy, faith. And so he gives the illustration, they strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. If you kind of picture that in your mind, it makes kind of a comical scene that you see. But can you imagine such a thing? One that would strain out the little gnat, the little fruit fly or something, but swallow something of so much greater magnitude. Again, blind leaders today oftentimes do the same thing, sometimes in reverse. Sometimes they stress the weightier things, but don't consider the lighter things. Just kind of brush those off as if those are unimportant. Again, Jesus said they should do both. Leave neither undone. All of God's Word is important. And so we don't leave any commands, whether we consider them big or little, undone. Another thing that we see in these blind leaders is that they focused on the outside. They focused on the outer man, the impression. And they didn't pay much attention to the thing that's actually more important, and that's the inner man, who we really are on the inside. Again, Jesus addresses these. He calls blind Pharisees in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Have you ever had a small child washing dishes? Maybe you're trying to teach them how to wash dishes. Sometimes they'll kind of fool you, won't they? They may even let the dog in, let him lick the plate until it looks like it's clean, put it up in the cabinet. But it's not clean, is it? That's kind of the way these Pharisees are. They're all worried about the impression, that which is outward. But he says inside they're full of extortion, self-indulgence. He continues on and says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." We can all understand the illustration of a tomb, can't we? If you've ever been down around New Orleans where they have the tombs above the ground, and you see the beautiful tombs, the mausoleums and so forth. But what's inside? Dead men's bones. Corruption, filth is what's inside. And so concerning the keeping of traditions of this ritual cleansing, remember again, this is what the chapter begins with, Jesus and his disciples being called on the carpet because they're not washing their hands in this ceremonial way. Not that they didn't wash them to get them clean before they ate. That's not the issue. It was a ceremonial cleansing. These people are willing to put up with extortion, with self-indulgence, with hypocrisy, with lawlessness. You know, again, blind leaders today sometimes are happy with the appearance of success. How many of these famous TV preachers over the years have been caught in various crimes and so forth that they've been doing, embezzling the money or sexual crimes, all sorts of different things. But yet they put on such a show. And many times people are more concerned with the big building and the big crowd and the contribution that's put on the board being a huge number. You know, there's a so-called church in Houston where they have to come in and with an armored car to take the contribution away each Sunday. And, of course, it got stole here one Sunday here a few months ago. Accepting people into the church without challenging them to true repentance. Focusing on the outward. There are many other characteristics as we continue on through chapter 13. We'll just hit the rest of them real quick. But in chapter 23. They say and do not. They're bind heavy burdens on others when they won't lift that same burden with one of their fingers, verses 1 through 4. They do their work to be seen of men, verse 5. They love the attention and special treatment that they get from others, verses 6 and 7. They wear religious titles, though Jesus condemned such, verses 8 through 10. They fail to truly show the way to the kingdom of heaven, verse 13. They use their religion to make money and impress others, verse 14. They don't make people better, but actually make them worse, verse 15. They honor the men of God who went before them, but they're more like those who persecuted those men of God, verses 29 through 31. And so sadly, many religious people don't necessarily have our best interest at heart. Many have not been careful to search the Scriptures to make sure what they're teaching is indeed the Word of God. And so they lead others astray. Well, shifting gears just a little bit now, how can we keep from being misled by blind leaders? A person who, whether it's one of these savage wolves who's deliberately teaching false doctrine, whether it's a blind guide who's just ignorantly teaching something that they have not studied enough on the given subject. How can we keep from being misled? We need to listen. Listen to what's being said very carefully. Make sure that we know and understand what that person is indeed teaching. We need to have the same attitude that the Bereans had. In Acts 17, verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They received the word with all readiness. But when the Apostle Paul came to town, they went out and they listened to him. And they listened carefully to what he had to say. And they received it with all readiness. They were ready and willing to listen to the truth. There's a lot of people today who aren't willing to listen to the truth. That they reject it outright because we're not from the religious group that they've always been a part of or something like that. These people paid close attention to what Paul had to say, to where when he finished teaching, they knew what he was saying. Many people are led astray because they simply don't listen to what a person is truly saying. And they blindly follow halfway listening. When if they listened better, their falseness would be obvious. You know, we need to give people a fair and careful hearing. Listen closely to what they have to say. Be good listeners. But secondly, we need to not only listen carefully to where we know what's being taught, but then search the Scriptures daily. Compare it to God's Word. That's the other attribute that we see again with these Bereans. They not only received the Word with all readiness, but it says, and search the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so having listened very carefully, they then went home and compared what Paul said to the Scriptures. That would be the Old Testament Scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament Scriptures yet. But they're comparing. They're not taking. Here's the great Apostle Paul, probably the second greatest teacher that's ever been, second only to Christ Himself. But yet they still did not take what he said for granted, but they went home and searched the Scriptures. They made sure that what he said was in accordance with God's Word. They didn't accept it just because Paul came along and said it to them. Unfortunately, many today are biblically illiterate. We don't know the Bible well enough to know if what we're being taught is indeed truth or not. They don't follow along in the Bible whenever someone is teaching from it. They don't read their Bibles at home. They don't search the Scriptures daily to make sure that these things are so. And failure to study and to read the Bible will leave one in a blind condition, unable to discern what is the Word of God and what is the teaching of men. And then if someone comes along and teaches us something, we just accept it because we don't know better. That's exactly what Israel of old did. Again, that's why they always followed their leaders. If their leaders were faithful, they were faithful. If their leaders were unfaithful, they were unfaithful. You look at congregations of the Lord's people today. They're congregations that have always been considered faithful, sound congregations. Lots of times it only takes hiring one preacher or getting one bad apple in the eldership. And we're amazed at how quickly that whole congregation can turn because they follow the leaders. Well, what will be the end of the blind leaders and those who follow them? The text tells us that like plants, they will be uprooted by the Heavenly Father in verse 13. Verse 14 tells us that together both will fall into a ditch. If a blind leads the blind, both fall into a ditch. You know, though very religious, thinking that they serve the Lord, Jesus will tell them, as we see in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, who's to blame? If people are misled by these blind leaders, who's to blame? Well, certainly the blind leader is partly to blame, and they will be held accountable. But they're not totally accountable. Because if people are blind, it's only because they've closed their own eyes. It's only because they're not studying the Bible for themselves and searching the Scriptures daily to make sure that what they're being taught is so. In Matthew 13:15, Jesus says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Sadly, that describes many people. But may we be like the Bereans and not follow blindly. May we be ones of whom the Lord would say, as He follows up the next couple of verses, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." How blessed we are to have the Word of God. How blessed we are to live in a time and in a society where it's available to every person. You can go down to Dollar General or someplace like that and buy a copy of God's Word for a dollar or two. And I don't know of anybody that doesn't have a dollar or two that they can spend to get a copy of God's Word. That's not that case in every land in our own day. It hasn't been the case, certainly, in many times through history. But we're blessed. We're blessed to live in a time where it's available to us in our own language. What a shame if it's so readily available and we lay it aside and we blindly follow people who teach us false things, and we blindly follow without knowing any better. And we both fall into the ditch. Lesson is yours. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to put on your Lord in baptism, the blind leaders tell us many things about how to be saved. Say the sinner's prayer and so forth. The Bible clearly teaches that we need to hear God's Word. We need to believe it. We need to repent, change our ways and our actions according to the change of mind that we have, the belief that we have, to confess Him before men that, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. If you haven't done that and are ready to take that step, we'd love to assist you in that this morning. We'd love to sit down and study with you, opening the Bible, not giving you our own opinions, but what the Bible says about salvation. Maybe you need the prayers, you brothers and sisters. If we can assist you in any way this morning, if you'd let your need be known by coming forward as we stand and sing.